treasure in heaven. I would like to read the verses that led up to this concluding statement when he says, sell what you have and give alms and you'll have treasure in heaven. Let's begin reading in verse 13 of Luke chapter 12. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, This will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. That makes good sense, good business sense. And I'll say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Food is what keeps us alive. Clothing is what covers our shame. Now, he's talking about physical food and clothing, yes, but he's talking about spiritual food, Christ, and spiritual clothing, Christ. Christ keeps us alive. Christ covers our shame. Now look what he says about these two subjects. Verse 24, Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought, worrying, can add to his stature one cubit. If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom of God. Who's the king of this kingdom? Jesus Christ, the Lord. And then we also read of the kingdom of this world. Who is the king of this world? Who is the prince of this world? The Lord tells us Satan is the prince or the god of this world. Now, which kingdom do you want to be in? I know which kingdom I want to be in. I want to be in that kingdom where Christ is the king. Seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isn't that a blessed thought? Now here is the concluding thought with regard to all this, beginning what he said to that man that was asking him to help him over the inheritance. And he said, Who made you a judge or a divider over you? Here's the last thing he says. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. A treasure, not treasures, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now this is the same thing he said to the rich young ruler, if you'll remember. He said, one thing you lack. Rich young ruler came and said, all these have I done from my youth up. I've kept these commandments. He said, one thing you lack. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Now here's a question. Is the Lord saying that we should not own personal property? And if you do, you need to sell it. Sell it all. Empty out your bank accounts and give everything to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. These gifts of yours will be evidences and proof that you're really sincere and that you're really a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what the Lord is saying? Well, no. No. We have so many examples in the New Testament of people who own property. You remember when the Lord met in Martha's house and Martha and Mary and Lazarus fixed him a meal? It was Martha's house. John had a home, and you'll remember from the cross. The Lord told John, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And at that time, she entered into his home, and he took care of her for the rest of her life. Peter had a home. Peter's mother-in-law had a home. There are many examples in the New Testament of people owning property, and some were very wealthy. So what's the point when the Lord says, sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven? The point is, you become a possessor of one thing. You become a possessor of one thing. Now, if somebody says, well, I believe this is a literal command. You ought to sell all you have and give it to the poor and start living as a street person. And whatever comes your way, give it away. Go for it. Do it. Kind of like that fellow that says, I believe the Lord is giving us a literal command when he says, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. You first. The Lord is not saying, sell everything you have and give it all away and give it to the poor. If he is, I don't know if that's done it. Do you? Maybe there has been somebody, but I've never been acquainted with anyone who has done that. Sell what you have, whatever it is you have, get rid of it. Give alms, acts of mercy and giving, providing or making for yourself a purse that doesn't wax old. Anything that comes from you is going to wax old and decay. It's no good. You'll become a possessor of one thing, a treasure. A treasure. What's your treasure? What is it that you cannot do without? What must you have? Now, this is a treasure in heaven, a treasure that fails not. Any earthly treasure will fail and decay and be gone. But not this treasure. You can't lose this treasure. Thieves have no power to break in and steal this treasure. It can't be corrupted by moths. You know, any human covering is going to be corrupted, isn't it? I don't care how beautiful it is. Give it some time and it's going to disintegrate. It's going to decay. It's going to be corrupted by moths. And our Lord tells us where your treasure is, and where has to do with location, doesn't it? Where your treasure is. Where's your treasure? In a bank? Is it in the street address in which you live with all the stuff that's in your house? Is your treasure in this world? Or is your treasure in Him? Turn with me for a moment to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. And I have no doubt that is speaking of Christ hid in the Word of God. He's hid. And the only way we're going to see Him is if He makes Himself known. He's hid. The which when a man hath found, he hideth. Oh, he's afraid of losing this treasure. He doesn't want to do anything to lose it. And for joy thereof, and goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field, that man became a possessor of one thing. He sold all he had to have that one thing. Look in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Plural. Who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. This man became a possessor of one thing. Christ Himself is the treasure. You believe that, don't you? Christ Himself is the treasure. He becomes all you have. Nothing along with Him or alongside of Him. Now, listen real carefully. May I say this the way it ought to be said? All I have is Christ. My hope isn't anywhere else. My way of acceptance is found nowhere else. All I have is Christ. Don't have anything else. Don't have anything else to put along beside Him. Don't have anything that would add to Him. I sure don't have anything that would take from Him. All I have is the Lord Jesus Christ. If all I have is Christ, somebody said, is that enough? Only if He's all you got. If you have anything else, no. He won't do you any good. It is only that one who has one possession. All they have is Christ. I love that little line of poetry, whatever you'd call it, where the man said, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. I love that. I am a poor sinner and nothing at all. I have nothing to claim to God. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. My treasure is Christ Himself. He's in heaven, and that's where my heart is. And I can say with complete conviction, I'm a stranger. I'm just passing through. What's more, I'm looking forward to getting out of here and being in the very presence of my Redeemer. My treasure is in heaven. When Peter wrote to believers scattered abroad, the first thing he said, Peter, to the strangers, pilgrims passing through, this world is not my home. My home is where my treasure is, where the Lord Jesus Christ is, being in His presence, sitting at his feet. Now, if my treasure is here on earth, if it's in my stuff, if it's in my position, if it's in my self-image, if it's here on earth, that's where my heart is, right here, and that's where my heart will remain. Now, this treasure in heaven is not your good works and almsgivings. Sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Why? You'll have all these evidence. Here's a fellow that sold everything he had. You know, this is so sad. I was sitting with a man who was going through chemotherapy, and he knew he was going to soon die. And he said, I'm just scared to death. He said, I just think there's something more to this, what we've been saying. He said, look what the Lord said to the rich young ruler. He said, go sell all you have and give to the poor. I've not done that. I don't see anybody doing that. And he was scared to death, dying, thinking that he had not done enough. He didn't really have an understanding of what this passage of Scripture means. Now, this does not mean that your treasures in heaven will be your almsgivings and your good deeds and all that you've given up for Christ and tried to help people out with. Now, every believer ought to be rich in good works. Every believer ought to be generous in their giving and their acts of mercy. And you know that's the case. We should never be indifferent about such things. Scripture says in Ephesians 2:10, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I'm not in any way taking away from the importance of acts of generosity, acts of mercy, trying to seek to be a blessing to others. But my good deeds and my almsgivings do not climb up into heaven and become my treasure. My treasure is the one in heaven who fails not. You see, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged. He cannot be lost. He cannot be corrupted. And truly, he is all I have. What makes you think God will have anything to do with you? Well, it's because I sold all my property and gave it to the poor. And I gave evidence that I'm a true child of God. Really. If the rich young ruler would have sold all he had and given it to the poor the way the Lord said, would that have saved him? No. Sure wouldn't have. Salvation is impossible if it's dependent upon us doing anything. Sell what you have, give it away. It's not worth anything, is it? Not really. It's not worth anything. Sell all you have until your only treasure is in heaven. And if you find anything else, or if I find anything else to be a treasure, we've never had Him as our treasure. Now, what does it mean to have Christ Himself as your treasure? Well, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to look at two or three scriptures. Verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, have it not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, which are nothing. What's nothing look like? I don't even know. It doesn't have any existence. There's a box that's empty. There's nothing in it. That's nothing. You know, Paul understood something about this. He said, though I'm not a whit behind the chief apostles, though I be nothing. Nothing. Now, understand this. It's only when you become nothing that you'll understand the rest of this passage of Scripture. You see, it's only when you're nothing that He is all. Now let's go and read. God hath chosen the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You're going to be, and I'm going to be brought to be nothing. Nothing. Not one thing about me that could possibly commend me to the Lord God. Nothing. You know, it's a blessed thing to be nothing. It's easy to trust Christ as your righteousness when you have nothing of your own. It's simple. You don't have anything else to do. You don't have anywhere else to look. I mean, it comes natural when you're nothing. It's a blessed thing to be nothing. Now, if you're something, if you have something that you can recommend you to God, you can't trust Christ. It's impossible. I can only trust Him as I am nothing. And let's go on reading. He does this that no flesh should glory in His presence. But. One of the best words in the Bible is but. Did you know that? Great word. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But Noah found grace, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He was in that group described in Genesis 6:5. But God did something for him. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. But God. But. I think it was Martin Lloyd-Jones who said, the whole gospel is found in the word but. I like that. But. But. Although you are nothing, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it's written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now you listen real carefully. That person who is nothing, he has nothing, that's the only one that has Christ as his wisdom. Any believer is a wise man, wise unto salvation. That's the only one who has the righteousness of Christ as their personal righteousness before God. That's the only one who has true holiness, because Christ is his holiness before God. That's the one who has true redemption and deliverance complete. It's only as I have nothing that I have those things. Now this treasure who is in heaven also dwells in these jars of clay by His Spirit. That treasure who's in heaven is with me right now. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Jars of clay, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know that, so don't you? We have this treasure in jars of clay. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Well, it's a blessed thing to only possess one thing, isn't it? It's a blessed thing. I don't have it. I'm not saying this cliche. I'm not saying this. I really mean this. All I have is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? He's all I want. And He's all I desire. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, in whom the Lord Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How much of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Him? All of them. Christ is the wisdom of God. Now, I love the Scripture says He's the wisdom of God. He's the power of God. And Him being the wisdom of God, God is... Who can describe the wisdom of God? God is so wise. Now, I know this. He's so wise that He's actually made a way to be totally just and punish all sin and yet justify and cause somebody like me to be without sin. Now, only God could do that. He only has the wisdom to do it, and He only has the power to execute it. And He did it through the way of the gospel, Christ being nailed to a cross. I see the very wisdom of God in the cross. We've already read this scripture when Don was reading. Ephesians 1:6 says, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Is that a treasure? To be accepted by God? By the Holy God to be accepted? What a treasure. Ephesians 4:32 says, Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He didn't forgive you because you asked to be forgiven. He didn't forgive you because you were sorry. He didn't forgive you because you promised to never to do it again. He forgave you for Christ's sake. Is that a treasure? It is finished. What's the ground of your salvation? That. What's the ground of your assurance? That. Is that treasure? He's the object of faith. Faith is in Him. He's the evidence of things not seen. He Himself is my prophet. He's my priest. He's my king. What a treasure. He's my husband. He's my provider. He's my preserver. He's my Lord. He's my friend. He's my all. Only got one thing. But how rich? Turn to Colossians chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ, your treasure, sitteth on the right hand of God. I love thinking about that right now. My treasure's in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why would you have them anywhere else when your treasure is in heaven? For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. You're dead. You're already dead. You're dead to the law. Law doesn't have anything to say to you. You're dead to this world. You're dead. You're a dead man walking through. You're the only one with real, truly life, but you're dead to this world. The world counts you a dead thing. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, I don't even possess my own life. How's that? Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, notice that who is in italics, when Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. You see, I only have one treasure, Christ. He's actually my life. And I'm not talking about Him being my reason for living, although He is my reason for living. But His life, His merit, His law keeping, His perfect life before God is my life. That God accepts. God looks at me and says, You've done good. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So in verse 5, the apostle says, Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Put them to death. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, into which you also walked sometimes when you lived in them. Now, put them to death. And here's how. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, spend 2 hours in prayer, spend 3 hours reading the Scripture, and on and on and on. How do I mortify my members here on earth? By having only one possession. That's what faith in Christ is. By having only one possession. Verse 8. But now also you put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put off these by having only one possession. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. There's no reason to lie and pretend to be somebody you're not, because you have this one possession. There's no reason for it. Verse 10. And you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And what is that knowledge? There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, all these fleshly distinctions are dropped, but Christ is all. In all. Certainly, if Christ is all, He's all you have. And having Him, you have all. The one who has only one possession has all. You see, Christ is all that God is. So much so that He could say, "He that has seen Me hath seen the Father." Christ is all in the Scriptures. I hope that's not something we just know but don't really think much about. Well, I've heard the preacher say that. No, every one of these verses in every book, Christ is the key. And if you don't even know what the meaning is, you still know what the meaning is. It's Christ. Even if you don't have it figured out, you know where it's going. Christ is all in salvation. He's all in my acceptance before God. He's all that God requires. He's all that God trusts. He's all that I require. He's all that I trust. The only way He can be all to you is if you have nothing else. Now sell what you have. Get rid of it. It's worthless anyway. It really is. And you'll have treasure in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning, your personal righteousness before God, your only hope of acceptance before God? Is He your treasure? Then that's where your heart is. It's not here. It's there. Let's pray.